back to item number eight then, the lean update briefing. So Rob, it's all
yours. Chairman Smith, members of the commission, director, deputy director. My name is Rob Geddes. I'm the department's lean performance manager. I've been with them for about 4 years now, and I'm part of a two-person team that we call ourselves the Lean Transformation Office. And my teammate's name is Kevin Wharton. I'm sorry he's not here today for me to introduce you to him or him to you. He's in Montesano facilitating a lean project today. The purpose of my presentation today is to help our director and our department meet one of the requests you have in our current performance agreement with the director to provide lean efficiency updates within to you. And so that's why I'm here today. So here's the agenda that I'm going to attempt to do that, meet that requirement. First, give you the background on why our department has a lean transformation office, where that came from, and it stems from governor guidance. I don't know how familiar or unfamiliar you are with lean and what that is, so I want to just do a high-level definition. And then I want to give you some examples of the efficiencies we're realizing within the department. You'll notice that the word lean is in parentheses there. And the meaning there is our focus is really we want to realize efficiencies. The goal isn't to use lean. It's how can we use lean to help us better realize efficiencies. I've broken down into three groups there. Kevin and I, we facilitate lean projects given to us by the department. We have staff that are leading their own improvement efforts, and we provide advice and help with that. But what's also cool to see is there's people improving things in our department independent, not waiting for the lean team to come down and help them, and that's great. And I'll give you some of those examples. And then finish with, you know, what are we doing now and how do we see us being utilized in the future to help our department get better and better at doing our business. So with that, I'd like to jump right in. It was actually Governor Gregoire who started with an executive order in 2011, which directed different agencies to include lean within their organizations and embed it. And I think that was the genesis that created our lean team, our two-person lean team within the department to help meet that intent. Governor Inslee then reinforced that when he took office with his own executive order establishing an office at his level called Results Washington to assist agencies in keeping that focus on lean. So that's kind of what the genesis was for creating a lean capacity in the department. So my summary of what lean really is, it's a methodology, so a set of tools and techniques to help us improve the services and products we give our customers, whether it's fishing licenses, hunting rules, how well we hire people. What lean really focuses on is the process of how we do that. So if we're going to issue a fishing license, we really study the process to get that fishing license to the customer, and we're looking for, you see the term in quotes, their waste. It's kind of a negative term, but in the lean community, it's a loaded term. They've gone to great lengths to define it and create eight different categories of waste to look for, and that's what's represented by the wheel in the picture. Those are the different categories that the lean community defines waste. And so when you look at a process, it's like a checklist to help you evaluate it. Lean also emphasizes making processes visible. So again, using that fishing license process, map it out and chart it. Make it visible so the people actually working that process can see it. And it's amazing when you chart it out how you can start to see things catch your attention, where ways you can improve. And then the last bullet on the slide, Lean also emphasizes something called root cause. Are we solving the real problem or are we solving a symptom? For example, one of the processes we have is issuing scientific collection permits. So as a university or a museum would like to collect wildlife for research, they have to get a permit to do that. And as we mapped out that process, we noticed one of the ladies processing it was spending a lot of time typing. Well, why are you spending a lot of time typing? Well, because anytime the biologist recommends a change to the application, I've got to retype the whole application. Well, why do you got to retype the whole application? Well, it's in a PDF format, and I can't edit the PDF document, so I retype the whole thing. Well, why don't you have an edit capability? Well, with everything else we're doing and everything else on our plate, it's just never risen to high enough priority to help me. You know, when we mapped it out, well, fortunately, it became high enough priority, and we got her that. But the point is, we kept asking why, rather than stop at, oh, okay, you need help retyping applications. Let's hire somebody to help you type. That might not be a better solution. So that's an example of what lean means by root cause. Lean also recommends and encourages a standard decision or problem-solving process. It's kind of outlined by the questions along the left side of the slide. They're in sequence. They're not really surprising. They're very logical. And the picture there has an alphanumeric A3. That's just one of the tools, one of the primary tools in Lean. A3 is just a paper size. So if you've ever used a computer to print a document, you often pick the size of the paper you want to print. And there's all sorts of options, and some of them are alphanumeric. And the size A3 is approximately this size here. And it's one of the tools Lean uses, where you go through this problem-solving process. You use this document. Now, a couple things to note. It's one page. How the heck can you get an in-depth, complex problem in on one page? Well, one of the beauties is it forces you to summarize and identify what are the key points. Two, it's a lot more palatable when you want to communicate about a problem. And it's easier to explain a one-page document with the team that's not working on the problem or a leader you need help from. So that's an example of one of the tools Lean uses for problem solving. So I'd like to shift gears here now and start getting into some of the efficiencies we're realizing within the department. Again, those three different categories I've shown you. First one really addresses something like our hiring process. On average, we're able to reduce that by about 5 working days, so we're getting capacity that much quicker. The changes were really simple. For example, when a manager needs to start the hiring process, our HR department was asking for like 22 pieces of information from that manager before we can even kick off the hiring process. And we got that down to like 14. Another one, when we mapped out the process, we noticed we were asking a budget person to review the request in the beginning and at the end. Well, the purpose of that budget check is to, hey, do we have the funding to support this hire? And once we get that answer, why are we asking them again at the end of the process? So real simple changes, you know, have an effect, a positive effect on that process. There's the scientific collection permit process I talked to you before. So yes, not only did we get that lady some software to help her edit PDFs, but she also was taking all the information on applications and then typing it into a brand new permit, a separate document. Well, can't we make the application itself the permit? And we did that. And you can see some significant time savings, you know, just from doing that. The next one's an interesting one. We manage about 1 million acres of land. We get lots of questions about land. Our wildlife area managers need to plan for the land, and they often have to make requests of our real estate services team about what they can and can't do on the land, having to do with the different funding sources. Are we dealing with land we own, or is it an easement? And usually the best way to answer those questions are with a map, and they normally turn to our real estate services team, and we have a team in the wildlife program to create those maps. Well, they've recently created a web-based tool. Well, rather than handcraft maps, which could take 4 to 8 hours, we can now do it on the web in a matter of minutes. And that last bullet also speaks to that. We now have a capability where, okay, now we can create the map, but you know, it helps me if I know the county parcel numbers associated with this piece of land. Well, great, we can overlay that information. It would help if I know what are the surrounding lands around that piece of land I'm worried about. Great, we can overlay that information. So some significant improvements in there. So now I want to talk about, we've got staff that are doing improvements themselves and seek us out for help to get them help. One of them is we work with the Department of Transportation when they build culverts. They have to consult our engineers to make sure the culverts can pass fish. And there's a large process to do that, and it's a process that takes years. But just getting those two groups together to map out a common process, so now they have a common reference point from which to make improvements from. And it goes all the way down to a small five-person team within our licensing division. They really struggled with their database because it sometimes took them 10 minutes to find a document. And simply by reorganizing and changing their naming conventions, they're able to reduce that time. We have a pheasant farmer down in Centralia, and he noticed a lot of the feed was being wasted in the ground, and he said there's got to be a better way. And he observed that how the birds would get, since the feeders were on the ground, the birds would get in the feeders and just kick the feed all over the ground. Well, by simply raising up the feeder, making it or discouraging them from getting inside of it, he's reduced, you know, the amount of cost for his feed over the course of the years. And then we've had a program that wanted to better understand their employees when they took the survey. The survey questions when we take an employee survey are very general. You know, for example, my supervisor gives me ongoing feedback to help me do my job better. Okay, that's very general. So this program used our facilitation to help really do a focus group and pick apart what do the employees really mean or what's important to them about that general statement. And in this case, it was face-to-face. You know, that's the kind of feedback I want, and respectful. But again, it was a part of that program leader improving their employee survey scores. And then the last group is, it's nice to see improvements going on all around us. So you may be familiar with Tim Burns, our Capital Asset Management Program Assistant Director. And he annually comes to you with recommendations on priority of capital projects to pass. And you could see by standardizing the methodology and creating common criteria understood across our executives at our department, he was able to cut the time spent on that in half. Our fiscal team, just by emailing earnings statements rather than mailing them through the mail, reduced printing costs. Our marketing team, by doing research, analysis, and putting together their plan, were able to increase the number of people buying two pole endorsements. Our hunting education team, people that need to get a deferral for hunting. So if they're unable to get in a hunter education class, they want to go hunting, they want to go with another licensed hunter, there's a deferral process to do that. Unfortunately, by law, that they could only pay for that either in person, face-to-face, or through the mail. Well, the team figured that out and got the law changed, so now they can accept payments over the phone. So those are some examples of great things going on, you know, in the department. And so now, how do we recommend the department use Kevin and I and our knowledge and skill? We think the primary focus should continue to be using us as facilitators for key projects within the department and making ourselves available to our staff with their own improvement projects, as opposed to spending more time creating and developing training courses and classroom instruction. I'll talk about that training in the next slide, but here I wanted to give you a taste of the different projects we're facilitating and advising. The first one has to do with our online application system. If someone needs an HPA or hydraulic project approval permit, we have an online system, but we want to make that better. ballast exchange. So as ships leave ports from outside the state and they come in the state, they have to exchange their ballast water to minimize the chance for aquatic invasive species. But there's a reporting process that they have to follow. And so we're working with that team to improve that. Our private lands program, as we're making agreements with private landowners to allow hunters to use their land, there's a process to develop those contracts, and we're working with that team. And then the future brood document, which is the plan for how many fish are we going to produce in our hatcheries over the coming year. We're helping that team with that process. So you can see we're active, and I think that's the right place to put us or use us. Now, on training, though, training, of course, is important. And what's nice about being a facilitator and being an advisor is we're doing training on the job on issues that are important to the team they're struggling with right now. It means something to them as opposed to a hypothetical in a classroom. But we do provide training to our supervisors. So we have in our department, I think it's about once every 3 months, any new supervisor has to go through a supervisor training course within our department. We are in that curriculum. We provide them an introduction to what lean is, a practical exercise to help them see how it might help them, make sure they know who we are and where they can reach out to. But also there's other training resources available to not only our agencies but others. And that comes from the Department of Enterprise Services. They offer some really good basic lean courses you could see listed on the slide. And so we make sure our staff knows that those are available for them to take advantage of to supplement the help we give them. So in sum, you know, we're here primarily from governor guidance, from Governor Gregoire, and then continued from Governor Inslee. We spend most of our time in the facilitation and advisory role, and we also provide training to our supervisors, and you can see we're realizing, you know, nice improvements, and it's going on, and we want to encourage that. I consider myself fortunate to be part of this team. I'm grateful to be here. And with that, I think I'll stop talking and ask if you have any questions.
Well, I need a guy like you in my life. What kind of background? Industrial engineering? Or?
No, actually, I spent 20 years in the Army. Now, the Army, it's like any other organization. Some subunits in the Army better use lean methods than others. But in my background, it was primarily the problem-solving methodology. The Army, I think, has a very good one of those, and it's very much akin to lean. After my 20 years, my family basically told me they were done moving every 2 to 3 years. We found work in downtown Tacoma as in a public corporation as a training manager, training their branch managers how to improve their branch performance. And then I did a 4-year stint as an advisor to the federal government, combining Fort Lewis and McCord Air Force Base, basically taking two city organizations, merging them into one. And you can imagine when I walk into the room that first day, everybody in the Air Force is over there, everybody in the Army is over there, and they don't even want to look at each other. And so,
I think we're fortunate to have you. So,
thanks.
I have a quick story you'll appreciate, and then I have a request.
Okay.
The story was I used to live next to him. He was called an industrial psychologist.
Oh.
And he actually worked for President Reagan. But before that, he was working on a job in a firm. And they called him in because their production had gone way down. I don't know what they were producing, but all the gentlemen at that time, it was mostly men in the workforce, sat in these tables and did their work. And he watched it for about 2 hours. He says, okay, I can save you 15%. I can increase your profit by 15%. And they said, what do we have to do? He said, you either have to move the water fountain or move that cute secretary's desk.
Oh.
Because every time she walks by, you lose how many minutes because all the heads come up. And he says, I saved him 15%, made a big pot of money. I thought you'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that's
But my request is, could you maybe apply this process to something that goes on in the world I work with? And it's ranchers get compensation checks when they lose livestock to wolves. And that process has been slow, and it's been I've tried to figure out why it's so slow, and I think some of it has to do with the forms that go out and they don't fill them out correctly.
Okay.
But it also has to do maybe with something internal. I would love to have you just
take a
quick snapshot of that and see is there something like, you know, the water fountain or the desk that's involved in that process. Just a simple thing that it just shouldn't take 6 months.
Okay. All right.
Just a request.
You. Thank you. We'll do.
There was an alternative way to increase efficiency in your story, and that was to hire more women. Nobody thought about that, I guess. But I was, this is great. This is good stuff. And of course, over the years, I've seen a number of different approaches to the same topic, improving government efficiency. And we're in a political environment now in which there's still an attitude that there's pervasive government waste, even though after the Great Recession, cut after cut after cut. So one of the real challenges, I know you know, is to try to convey to the general public, especially the skeptical public, that we've actually made a lot of changes, that it isn't as fat and wasteful as it used to be, if it ever was. This is a big, challenging thing because the messenger is often us, and we're not believed. So good luck with that. But I think we need to get this message out, especially to the skeptical audience. Try to penetrate that anti-government attitude that is so threatening to us right now. I don't know how you do it, but go forth and do good.
Right, and it's I agree. And before, this job is really my first job in state government. And before I had this job, you know, I've heard all the criticisms about, you know, government waste and, we're not getting the best for our money. Mm-hmm. But I'm pleased to report, at least personally, that's completely turned on its head for me. The people we've got in this department are incredible. They're the way they knock themselves out for the people we serve is incredible. We do more than we probably should because we care and we want to serve. So, and you're right. So now I carry that message with me wherever I go, and I'm going to continue to do so and look for better ways to do that.
Yeah, I always thought, like, you don't go into social work if you don't like people. And you don't go into jobs that have the word environment or fish and wildlife unless you're passionate about that.
Right.
You know, it's just...
So. It's a reason why I'm so grateful to be here.
Any other... Well, thank you very much. It was very informative.
Thank you.